as terrorists. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says they can call it whatever they want as long as it's in accordance with their own law. I'm Asya Fuchs.
Meanwhile, a Turkish minister says reports that Syrian government forces are entering a Syrian Kurdish-held enclave are false, adding that any move by Damascus to protect the Kurdish militia there would be a disaster for the region. He said Turkey was determined to continue its military offensive in the Afrin enclave. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey. This is my other host, Sean.
Hello.
And this is a show about paranormal conspiracies, mysteries, and all that stuff. We've had quite a newsy week.
Pretty much every week, but...
Well, no. Every week they scrape up some... crap and they call it the news. You know, this week there was quite a bit of...
What are you referring to this week specifically?
Well, of course, the Olympics are going on.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. That was happening last week, though, too.
Yeah, but it's still important.
Okay, what else you got?
School shooting?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That,
wasn't it this week
Yes, it was.
I know that was. But wasn't it also this week that the guys tried to charge the NSA building?
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. So this, you know, there's... First off, I got to preface this with... I've always voted since I was 18. Mm-hmm. But I was never really involved in politics. But I'm one of those people, like so many people in the United States, who weren't hugely actively involved. But after this last election, I now watch the news nightly. I'm sort of in there and...
Yeah.
And my wife makes fun of me because for a decade prior, I every time the news came on, I'd kind of roll my eyes and walk away. And so here I am watching the news on a regular basis.
Well, I mean, no matter what criticisms you can level about Donald Trump, in my case, all of them, every criticism, you can't say it's boring.
Yeah. And as much as I may not agree with his politics and... Actually, I don't even know if I agree or disagree with his politics. I really just don't know. I can't get past his personality rubs me the wrong way. But
yeah.
I don't necessarily think he's any more, you know, a lot of Republican presidents have been doing things that are down these lines. The law changes that he's been making... are really not all that different.
Right. No, I'd say in terms of actual policy, you know, what he signed, what he supported, et cetera, et
cetera.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that very well, because I'm trying not to come down on him in saying this. I'm trying to, because I very much feel that part of what I was trying to get at is that, you know, here we are on President's Day, and I'm driving down the road to get the family Chinese food, and there's people on the side of the road holding up signs that say, you know, God bless Donald Trump and stuff like that. And like, it's just showing me how ragingly split we are. And I read some statistics that we're even more split than we ever were at the time of the election. We're even worse now. And it's very unnerving that...
I can kind of confirm that. I spend all day calling people and asking them what they think about political issues. And... more than 9 times out of 10, like, probably 99 times out of 100, as soon as the person answers the first question, where I can kind of start to tell whether they're a Republican or Democrat,
mm-hmm.
I know how they're going to answer every single other question.
So they're really split right down the middle.
These are just random people, so we live in a partisan country.
Well... You know, that's kind of the...
It's hardly a hot take there, but yeah, we do.
Well, you know, there is something really sort of science fiction and conspiracy going on here because of all this. It's like, now I'm not saying anything about the president being involved with the Russians.
Sure.
But we know that the Russians were sowing the seeds of discord as well as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this was going on, and frankly, it was a good idea. You know,
yeah.
I would be surprised if we haven't done this somewhere.
Sure.
You know, but we know that it's going on, and so it makes me think, I guess I'm bouncing around here, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is these school shootings, when you listen to the politics on both sides, they're kind of saying the same thing. They're both kind of wanting the same thing. They're both having to just be really delicate about what they're saying. You know, now I'm aware that there's a lot of strong proponents on the left of just getting rid of guns and stuff like that. And then on the right, of course, quite the opposite. But when it comes to the politicians, they're both kind of saying we need to just tighten up these loopholes and get a system that works and stuff like that.
You know? I tend to agree with that, honestly, but I don't. I feel like, you know, a little better gun control is definitely going to help with gun suicides, which is, like, the largest category of gun deaths. It's going to help with a lot of different categories of crime. I don't know that anything like that would be that effective at actually stopping school shootings. I think for that you need, like, a massive buyback program mixed with confiscation, which is, like, obviously the American people have no appetite for that. Like, Australia did that, and that kind of solved their mass shooting problem, but they wanted to do it. Like, there was incredibly widespread support for that. So.
Right. Yeah, and you're not going to find that here.
No,
you know, you
just aren't.
We're the only, you know, first world Western country that basically has guns in our Constitution, and that is not coming out.
Exactly.
You know,
Right, at least not without a constitutional amendment, which is so pie in the sky.
Yeah, it is just not coming out, you know, it's not coming out. And, but the part that bothers me is that here I'm looking at both sides sort of saying the same thing, and yet here we are kind of fighting about it when they're both kind of saying the same thing. And I'm like, man, you guys could just shake hands and actually make some stuff happen. But they're so worried about getting represented poorly to their constituents.
Right.
That they don't want to, you know, team up. Somebody told me this. I don't know if it's true. You know, if you're listening and I'm totally wrong, feel free to go to the website or the chat room and you know, tell us how dumb we are. But I'm under the impression that back in the 60s, they passed some sort of law where Congress people's votes became public knowledge. At which point, our bipartisanship really started to happen hardcore because...
Or our partisanship.
Our partisanship, yeah. Became hardcore because we could no longer have backroom deals. People
That's
could
right.
no longer sort of ebb and flow. Every single vote that they made became a make it or break it for their career.
Right. You know, it's kind of funny if you look at the history of, like, American electoral politics. Today is probably, like, the least corrupt it's ever been. And therefore, it's the least functional also. You know, way back at the beginning of the 20th century, plenty of stuff got done because everyone in Congress, they were friends. They would have dinner over at each other's houses, and they kind of, like, they chose their own voters. There was machine politics. There was widespread fraud in a way that makes gerrymandering today look, you know, cute.
Right.
But
I would say that the corruptions that go on today have much larger spanning spectrums of damage that they're doing.
That's probably true, yeah.
All right, well, we should probably get on point. And on point here is tonight's guest is author Joseph Selby. And the topic is The Physics of God, A Grand Unification of Science and Religion. That's his book.
All right.
So does that all make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what he's going to say.
Yeah.
And where he's going to go with
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good. We got this one coming. yeah, no, I'm excited about this, you know, because I'm a science guy.
Yeah.
Like, and science over the past couple of years has really started opening up to the ideas of spirituality and mysticism and where is the truth, and that do we define the truth, and so on and so forth. So there, there's a lot there to be said. Yeah. So come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland, and our guest discussing the physics of God is Joseph Selby.
This is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
On Friday, March 9th, at the new Sheridan Renning Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, the Trade School is hosting the Electricians Ball 2018, an elegant evening of dining along with the Craftsman's Art Auction. This fundraiser supports scholarships and technology upgrades. Please help us create rewarding career opportunities in the skilled trades. Millions of jobs are waiting. Our young people deserve a prosperous future. Visit ShastaBE.com/events and register or call 221-5556. All are welcome.
The Trade School, the Shasta Builders Exchange. Train, build, succeed.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Joseph Selby, and we are discussing the physics of God, which, you know, there are two subject words in there that, you know, aren't hard to wrap. Well, I guess they might be hard to wrap your brain around, but, they, you know, we know what they mean, but putting them together, you know, that's kind of contradictory to a lot of people. So, Joseph, I assume we got you there with us. Maybe you could explain to us why the title, The Physics of God?
Well, I think a lot of people's assumption is that they are mutually contradictive and that, in fact, science has ruled out any possibility of God or any of the claims of religion. But, in fact, it's just the opposite, that there are well-supported, long-standing scientific discoveries that actually point to there being subtle realities, there being a universal consciousness, an intelligent consciousness, that actually are necessary for the cosmos to behave as it does.
I was reading an article the other day about Neil deGrasse Tyson, and they were sort of pushing him about whether or not he believed in a good God, in a good God. And he was dancing around the topic, and he finally had to come out and say that if there is a God, it's hard for him to believe that it's good, seeing how the universe has provided so many ways for the universe to kill us, that he, you know, doesn't see all the goodness in it. But do you find that scientists, as you sort of read and study these things, are starting to come around to that idea and be a little more open to it?
Well, it was a very interesting Pew research study done in, I think, 2007, 2009, somewhere in there, where they polled scientists all over the country, and they came to a very surprising result, which is that a majority, a tiny majority, 51% of scientists actually believe in a higher consciousness or a universal intelligence or God. And it's only a minority of scientists, 41%, who make up what we call the scientific materialists, those people who are convinced, who are wedded to the notion that everything that is or ever will be is a expression of matter and energy, and there's just nothing more. So scientific materialists are dominant because they kind of share one point of view among the 41%, where the remainder of the scientists are kind of spread over many, many different perspectives. But it gives you a different picture of what scientists believe or don't believe about reality.
Well, I assume that quantum mechanics is really one of those places. By the way, the word I was trying to think of earlier is benevolent. that quantum mechanics is one of those places that really has made scientists start to think of science maybe with a little bit more of a mystic input because of the ways that things change by the mere fact that we're observing them and stuff like that. So how did you come up with putting these two together? What was that sort of inspiring thing to you that made you decide you're going to put these together and you're going to write a book about it?
Well, I would say that the deepest level of inspiration is my personal experience of having many conversations with people who are people I like, people I care about, thoughtful, intelligent people who find themselves unable to embrace anything subtle like consciousness or subtle energy or any of the things that kind of fall outside of scientific materialism, precisely because they believe that science has ruled it out. And my father in particular was someone like that, brilliant man, but he confided to me once years ago, he said, I just can't believe in God because of what I understand science to be telling us about the universe. So that was, you know, a powerful motivation. On the other hand, always been fascinated by science, always been fascinated by the intersections of science and spirituality. So it's been an avocation for decades, and I've read, you know, many of the seminal books, starting with Fritjof Capra's The Tao of Physics, and many, many that have followed. I mean, there are literally hundreds of books in this genre now, but they all kind of accomplish the same thing, which is that in one way or another, they point out that scientific materialism has enormous holes in it. You mentioned one, which is perhaps the most prominent, which is the intelligent observer effect. And it's been proven over and over and over and over again, I mean, literally thousands of times, that matter only behaves like matter in the presence of an intelligent observer. It has to be measured by an intelligent observer before it behaves like matter. Otherwise, it stays in a kind of undifferentiated state of energy. And it's only when we look at it, so to speak, that it kind of pops into existence as particulate matter. So that's a pretty powerful reason to question whether scientific materialism really has all the answers or not.
Absolutely.
I find, you know, my personal view of things, having been a meditator for over 40 years and having had personal experiences inwardly, tell me without any doubt that there is a deeper level of reality. There is a benevolent consciousness that we can connect with, that in fact we are part of. So on the one hand, I have my personal experience. On the other hand, I have my interest, my avocation in studying the different paradigms of science, and I decided to put them together into a book.
So in my case, you know, I was very always been a very sciencey guy. And over the past couple of years with age and family and stuff like that, I've started to sort of entertain a lot more mysticism and spirituality and stuff like that. Where did you start from? It sounds like your dad started from more of a strict science angle, but where did you come from? Were you coming out of science and then brought that spirituality in quickly, or were you coming from a spiritual point and then brought in the science?
Well, way back when I was in college, I experimented with hallucinogenic drugs, as did most of the people that I knew at that time. And I had an experience that was unexplainable in any way by what I understood about science at that time. And I was a science major. I was going to get a degree in quantum biology. Microbiology. And that experience turned me 180 degrees, and I dove into philosophy and religion and eventually into Eastern mysticism until I came across a book that many people have read, The Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, and finally started to see, because of that book, that there didn't have to be this split between science and this personal spiritual experience that I had had. And in fact, one of the standout qualities of Yogananda's writings is that he could address his own spiritual experiences, which were profound, in the language of Western psychology, Western medicine, and Western physics. So that made a deep imprint on me, that it kind of allowed me to have both, if you will. I didn't have to reject science as a discipline, and I didn't have to necessarily, though, go with the prevailing interpretation of the scientific materialist.
Yeah, I think a lot of people made that segue with the cocktail of college and hallucinogenic drugs. You know, I think, well, I mean, really, I mean, this is where the bulk of a lot of those those books started to come out that really started it. I mean, we're looking at the Cultural Revolution here in America is really when these concepts went mainstream, right?
Yes, very much that time. This was, for me, it was early 70s, and I think the movement you're talking about started a little bit earlier in the late 60s, but it definitely was a big paradigm shift for a lot of people my age.
Yeah, and it's weird to think that, you know, this is a little off topic, but we're coming up on the commercial. A friend of mine moved back from China, and as I ask him about what China's like, he's constantly reminding me that they didn't have a cultural revolution there. And so a lot of the things that we sort of take for granted in the way that we think and the way that we consume and create art and stuff like that just aren't going on in a lot of other parts of the world because there wasn't this freedom fought for to put it out there. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're coming up on our commercial break here. We're talking to Joseph Selby about the physics of God. Come on back. Shouldn't be too long.
Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the end of the Almighty.
It's a great time to drive a new Kia. Don't miss the President's Day sale going on now at Redding Kia. Kia, America's best value.
Get yours today at Redding Kia through February 28th, Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
The Ten Tenors are coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium March 16th with their acclaimed show, Wish You Were Here, a celebration of legends featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, and more. Fresh off their 20th anniversary world tour, the Ten Tenors return with their show, Wish You Were Here. With over 700 sold-out shows, 6 albums that have gone platinum and gold, it's the Ten Tenors. Don't miss your opportunity to experience this international singing sensation live at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets for this soon-to-be sold-out show, the Ten Tenors, March 16th. Go to readingcivic.com for your tickets today. Tickets are also available at the Civic box office or by calling 229-0022.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D, murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck reek? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Sign staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
It's a great time to drive a 2018 Kia Stinger GT. With a 365-horsepower twin-turbo and cutting-edge design, Kia Stinger is guaranteed to blow your mind.
Test drive one today during the President's Day sale. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Locally owned KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, is also home to local programming and local sports. Mondays at 6 p.m., Radio Wasteland explores the mysteries all around us with a team of researchers who dig deep into the unseen world. Thursdays at 6, it's Chris and Jen Gomez keeping you up on pop culture and entertainment with We're a Little Behind, KCNR, where you also get local high school football, basketball, and, of course, baseball with the Reading Colt 45s. KCNR 1460.
When you're young, you're the king of carrot flowers. And how you built a tower tumbling through the trees.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Joseph Selby. We're talking about the physics of God. Joseph, before the commercial break, you were talking to us about an experience that you just couldn't explain or understand. Can you tell us what that was that piqued our interest? What was the experience?
Well, I was raised by my father, as I mentioned, to be a kind of a hard-headed, have to understand it, has to be explainable, otherwise it must not be true. And I had this hallucinogenic trip, in which I could feel the feelings of other people. I could kind of see into plants. I could see into my own skin. I could kind of tell what other people were thinking around me. And even more amazing, sort of difficult to explain in any concrete way, but I just felt absolutely wonderful, beyond wonderful. I felt joyful, peaceful, calm, centered, intelligent, clear-headed. It was sort of like everything I might have wanted to be, I suddenly was. And then, of course, it all went away after the drug left my system, although there was kind of a residual that stayed with me for several weeks of just an additional calmness. But even that went away. But that experience was so profound, so unable to be explained away as something I made up or some passing kind of misperception I had. I knew that I had tapped into a state of consciousness that was beyond anything I had ever experienced before, and I definitely wanted more.
Well, this is a perfect segue into the next things that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is, you know, the proofs that are out there. So it seems to me like you're saying that the experience that you had was similar to sort of some of the unifying, like string theory, where everything is connected and you sort of became aware of that connection, became aware of your part and involvement with everything around you. And it makes me think, I read this article about before they could figure out what vision was and how we were taking in vision, that they speculated at the time that eyes were actually sending out beams and hitting things and then returning back to the eyes with the information that your eyes were. And then we sort of learned, of course, after the fact that that's not the case, you know. And so in all of this, I see a sort of mystic, or what we would have called a mystic explanation of science, but where is the God proof in it?
Well, to say that science, or to be more exact, scientific discovery, can be said to have proven the existence of God, I wouldn't go that far. I would say that scientific discovery has provided support for many of the ways in which God is experienced, or the effects of God. Let me give you a more concrete example. So, in almost every religion in the world, there's the concept of heaven. Mm-hmm. So heaven, you would think, has not been even remotely supported by anything that science has discovered. But relatively recent, advances in string theory, which you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. and particularly in M theory, which is a sort of the most prominent branch of string theory, has kind of created a picture of the cosmos in which our universe is only a tiny bubble floating in a vast sea of energy. You've probably heard of the notion of there being other universes or the multiverse theory.
Yes, definitely.
This is one of the expressions of string theory and has that same potential within M-theory, that this sea of energy is so vast and virtually infinite that there could be any number of other universes in popping out in these sort of bubbles out of this substrate of energy. Well, a description of the heavens, if you carefully read the stories of people who have had near-death experiences, or the descriptions of saints and sages and mystics from around the world, all describe arriving in a luminous world that has no time and no space. And yet it has a form in the same sense that if you're watching a movie on a movie screen, the screen is flat, it's two-dimensional, but it can give you the appearance of three-dimensionality and of forms moving and motion and time in that two-dimension. So it's my belief that the descriptions of the heavens, especially the multi-layered heavens that are a part of almost every spiritual tradition, we have the notion of the highest heavens, the seventh heaven. It's in Christianity, it's in Buddhism, it's in Hinduism. That also fits in M theory, the notion that this vast sea of energy is made up of layers, which they call brains, B-R-A-N-E-S, like membranes, only without the mem. Mm-hmm. And that these brains are like slices in a giant loaf. And each slice vibrates at a different frequency. And this is really the way the heavens are described. They get higher and lower, and the lowest levels of the heavens are the lowest vibration, and the highest levels of the heavens are the highest vibration. So we have a support. It's not as if there are a number of M theorists out there saying, yes, we've discovered the heavens, but the two fit together extremely well, especially if you look to the descriptions of people who have had direct experience, not to the theologians, not to the dogmas of religions that build up over centuries, but to the people who have actually had these experiences and carefully read and pay attention to how they're describing it. You'll see this amazing conformance between what they describe and this substrate of energy of the bulk, as it's called in M theory, or as I like to refer to it, the energy verse.
Yeah, that definitely, you know, the concept, I definitely agree, blows my mind to the point. You know how there's those concepts that end up being so incredibly large, you have no choice but to turn it into a kid's book to help understand it, and it always makes me think of Horton Hears a Who. You know, how he has here's this big life form with this little speck, and only he knows that there's an entire world upon this speck. You know, this sort of concept of a fractal that you just go in further and you come out further, and there's just more and more. And it does leave me thinking that there must be. You know, I hesitate to call it a god. I don't really know, but there must be something more. There obviously is something way more that I just don't understand.
Well, even the early physicists who began quantum physics, and many generations of physicists since, and Einstein in particular, all felt that the universe was an expression of an immense intelligence. Even recently, Michio Kaku, who is a fairly well-known scientist. He's also a string theorist, but he's probably most well known because he's often appears on science documentaries and is
yeah, I love him.
Himself
I do.
A very accomplished scientist. But even he said that he believes there must be a overarching intelligence that is kind of the girders of how the universe and how the cosmos beyond just our universe actually behave.
Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Joseph Selby here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta...
Spring is right around the corner. If you're looking for a change or just want to freshen up, Finders Keepers is your unique upscale home consignment boutique. Whether you're looking for a classic, contemporary, or modern day style, Finders Keepers has quality, name brand, and interesting items. Specializing in home furnishings including wall art, kitchen, and home decor. Located at 2235 Hilltop Drive across from C.R. Gibbs and now open in Chico on the Skyway next to Batteries Plus. Shop online at finderskeepersreading.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at TrueLifeReading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Jesus, don't cry. You can rely on me.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're talking to our guest Joseph Selby about his book, The Physics of God. So that is the title of your book, isn't it?
Yes.
And so can you tell our listeners what they really would be getting themselves into if they sat down to read this book?
Well, I wrote it specifically for people who did not necessarily have a strong science background. There's definitely no math, and none of the kind of depth of detail that you see in massive tomes. It's a relatively short book. It's concise. I start with the basics, and I work forward. And I really am just trying to point out where the most common things that all religions tend to believe are possible: miracles, life after death, heaven, God, and the ability to have your own personal transcendent experience. I find support for all of those in science, in the discoveries of science. And I do it, you know, very straightforwardly. You don't have to have a lot of stretching things out of credibility in order to do it. You just have to compare what the mystics say, what the spiritual teachers of the ages say, what near-death experiences are actually saying to these theories and discoveries in science.
So in doing so and in your beliefs, because I know you have a lot of stuff going on, you know, in going through your websites and your bios and reading up on you, you know, you got a lot going on. What is... So if there is a higher power, you know, I assume no religion has it right. So does the higher power want to have a relationship with us, or is it even conscious on that level, or is it more of a natural relationship? What is the relationship?
Well, the saints, sages, and mystics that I have been mentioning over and over again all speak to the ability to have a deep, meaningful, conscious relationship with God. And that they describe God as responsive to them in a very minute way, responsive to their feelings, responsive to their thoughts, guiding them in their own lives, filling them with love, filling them with joy, filling them with peace, that there's absolutely no sort of tenuous feeling among saints and sages that God exists. They know it beyond any shadow of a doubt. And then they all also say that what they gradually come to appreciate and to experience is that they are a part of that reality. They are not themselves God, but that they are inextricably inseparable from God. That their consciousness, their being, their energy all comes from that experience. It comes from that reality. And I've had touches of that experience personally, so I'm very easily persuaded by their words that this is possible, because in meditation, if you, you know, practice it deeply, you begin to know that, you know, you're not alone, that there's something greater than yourself that you're experiencing. And everybody's experience of that can be different. It can be in the form of ideas coming to you. It can be in the form of just wonderful feelings. It can be enormous peace, but you know that there's something very powerfully real that you're experiencing. You're not just making it up. It's not just all in your mind. It's not dreamlike. It's life-changing. It's life-affirming. It can empower you to go out and start a business. It can bring tremendous willpower to you. So it's not a vague, nebulous sort of reality that you're touching into. It's a powerful, potent reality.
So this might be a bit of a touchy question, maybe a question that people have posed to you to set you up to knock you down, but I'm not doing that. As a person who is open to these ideas of spirituality, I have never experienced any of it whatsoever that I would associate with any sort of higher God, spirit, anything even slightly like that, although I'm open to it. I have many friends that are religious. You know, I don't think they're all crazy. I just don't know, you know. What would you tell a person like me who hasn't had any of those experiences? Why am I not having them?
Well, I think the key for everyone is meditation. And what I mean by meditation is learning to sit still and become inwardly.
I think you already told me why I failed at it. I can't sit still. Yeah. But sorry, continue.
Well, you know, no one can sit still right off. I mean, you wouldn't say that you could shoot a 5-under par round of golf, right?
Right. Oh, no, I can't.
And not the first day that you play golf, or the 10th day, or the 100th day. But you could, conceivably, with enough focus and willpower, go out and shoot a really good round of golf. Meditation is in some ways no different. It's a discipline that you need to practice and be faithful to and get better and better and better at it, just like almost anything that you wanted to take on in life, being a radio announcer. You didn't start off able to conduct an interview as well as you do now. So meditation is no different. But it's really, it's hard to experience a subtle reality when you are bombarded by the not subtle reality that your senses are bombarding you with.
Right.
So if you're feeling the body, if you're seeing things, hearing things, tasting things, they're all masking this other experience. And if you can just calm yourself enough, and you don't have to have absolute ability to become calm, you don't have to have absolute ability to feel inwardly drawn to experience enough of it that you know it's there. You just have to kind of give it a little time. You know, meditate 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Do it in the morning when you first wake up. Just, you know, just sit with no intention of, you know, running off and doing something. Watch your breath. That's a common way to get yourself sort of down a few levels of activity. Just watch the breath come in, watch the breath go out. If your thoughts come in and carry you away, just don't worry about it. Just come back to center. A good place to concentrate your mind is at the point between the eyebrows. Not going cross-eyed, but just as if you were looking out towards that, from that vantage point of the point between the eyebrows. And just stay with it for a bit. And I think you'll begin to relatively quickly start to feel a calming, a slowing. You might feel tensions drop away, stresses drop away. It almost always immediately feels good to get to that place of greater stillness.
Well, you're definitely backing up a lot of what I'm being told in this world, because I've been trying to do some meditation and getting there. Unfortunately, we're coming up on the end of the interview. I'd like to be sure that you have a couple minutes here to tell our listeners a little bit more about how they can find out more about you and where they would go to do that.
You can find out more about me at my website, which is at physicsandgod.com. That's physicsandgod.com. You can find my book in bookstores and on Amazon and other online vendors. I have articles you can read. You can read more about me. I have an upcoming events in Northern California, Sacramento in particular, down in the Bay Area. Those are also all in my website.
Oh, interesting. Maybe we'll have to do a road trip. Well, Joseph, I really appreciate you being on the show. You've been listening to Joseph Selby here on Radio Wasteland as we have been discussing his book, The Physics of God.
Jesus walking on the water, sweet Jesus.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Survivors of the deadly school attack in Florida last Wednesday are speaking out. Diana Hineski, who's a librarian at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, says she survived last week's attack because she followed the advice of her friend Yvonne Ketch, who's a survivor of the Sandy Hook school shooting in Connecticut.
If Yvonne did not tell me all the time, you know, if I had to, you need your keys, you need your radio, you need your walkie-talkie, you need your phone.